You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
My favorite operations and cleaning tool. Come on, everyone. You know what it is by now. It's Breezeway. It just got a whole lot better for Airbnb hosts.
Breezeway's platform has always helped hosts manage work like cleaning, maintenance, and inspections at their properties. But now their technology is integrated with Airbnb, which means you can connect your Airbnb reservation info with Breezeway, helping you save even more of your precious time, like automatically notifying your cleaners on a new reservation or changes to an existing reservation.
You can use Breezeway to schedule cleaning, inspections, and maintenance tasks using smart checklists and automated messaging to maintain a consistent guest experience.
Connect your Airbnb guest reviews with individual tasks in Breezeway. For example, fridge stopped working and the guest mentioned it in your review, a Breezeway maintenance task will help you make sure it gets fixed as soon as possible.
Respond to guest messages all in one platform. Hosts can now view and respond to Airbnb message threads within the Breezeway platform.
And that's not all. The Breezeway Guide is a personalized digital welcome book, and they also have Breezeway Assist, a 24-hour call service supplemented with Breezeway's AI-driven engine, are also connected through this Airbnb integration.
There are so many things that Breezeway can help you tackle, so check out Breezeway for yourself. TFE listeners will receive free implementation when you decide to make Breezeway a part of your hosting operational strategy, just like Annette and I have. Visit breezeway.io/TFE to learn more. That's breezeway.io/TFV. Hello, listeners. Welcome back for another fantastic week with us. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. We've got an amazing show today. We are going to talk real estate, but we're also going to talk hospitality. And we are so excited to share the story of the gentleman that we have on our show today. He was one of the huge highlights of the conference we went to about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now. But before we do that and introduce him, we are going to do what we love doing, and that is sharing you our faithful listeners and viewers and your short-term rentals, giving you some airtime. Annette, who are we sharing on the show today?
Today, we are sharing at Magnolia Cottage Farmstay. Again, that's at Magnolia Cottage Farmstay. And this is what I want to bring to everybody. This is a 70-acre property. Because today on my walk, for some reason, I was like, I really want to have a farm. And then like, how can I have people come stay there? So I just want to encourage everybody, whatever your dream is, if it's this farm stay, you can make it happen. This property is in Lancaster, PA. It is amazing. And she is crushing it. And there's a basketball court here, but it's for large families. She's really thinking of reunions, family get-togethers, and just unplugging. And I love that, because a lot of times when we think short-term rental, we think vacation rental, we think maybe metro markets, smaller places, and you don't really think of larger plots of land. I know we just had a guest on that is also thriving in this acreage, like housing larger families. And I just like, it brought a lot of joy to see that people, whatever your dream is, whatever that property that you've been wanting to create, that experience, please go do it. Check them out. And through their photos, you can see the expansiveness of their property. And I think a lot of times we get wrapped up into the amenities inside the home. And I think the selling point here is all of the acreage with nothing on it. So always kind of think, what's that value prop for your guest? And all the acres with nothing is probably what they're looking for. So well done at Magnolia Cottage Farmstay. We love that you're using our hashtag. We will continue to share you. All right, Sarah, let's get on. How many times have I said this guest name today?
75 times, you guys, because it does roll off the tongue really well. So today we have on the show TJ Tajani. I should let you do it.
I have to say, TJ Tajani. I love it.
But so if you go to TJ's Instagram account, he's TJ Tajani Rentalpreneur.
And he's not crushing it at all on the gram.
No.
Just a few followers.
We're lying. He even has to say, like, this is the only account that TJ runs because he's crushing the game. So, we went to the STR Wealth Conference, what is it now, a month ago maybe? Mm-hmm. Time flies when you're having fun. And I believe TJ was the first presenter.
He was.
The minute he started talking, I was just like, is this going to be a presentation just about like acquisition and numbers? Because TJ, I'm going to welcome you to the show real quick in a minute here, but I was just like, are we going to talk about hospitality at all in this event? And bam, he hits us with guest experience and why it matters to like do quality work and why it matters to know your numbers.
And he had a plethora of before and after pictures of the investment that he did huge investments on the exterior, but TJ does not skimp on the interior before and afters. And he was sharing picture after picture to this audience of the investment that he put into the interior design and the amenities for his guests.
So without further ado, TJ, welcome to our show.
Fantastic. Thank y'all so much. It's a true honor. Thank you, for real.
First of all, we want to let everybody know that TJ also is the rentalpreneur, and we're going to have to start using that. He's wearing a rentalpreneur hat right now, so you're going to have to...
Yeah, can we buy your swag,
check it
TJ?
Out.
Is that something we can purchase?
Yeah. Actually, it's actually for sale. People don't... I don't talk about it at all.
Well, let's talk about it. Can we get an affiliate link?
We can set something up. Rentalmerch.com. You can grab your rentalpreneur drip.
Sure. Well, we will make sure. We'll sign up for your affiliate, and then we'll put it in the show notes. TJ, we know your story, but share with our audience. It was not that long ago. You were out at sea on the grind, like really out at sea.
No, like literally, listeners. So TJ, please tell us your story from the beginning.
Oh, man. Originally, I'm from Nigeria. I'm a Nigerian immigrant. So it's interesting. I don't even know if I'm first generation. I think I'm like zero generation because I'm born in Nigeria. So I came, moved down to the United States here in Houston, Texas, H-Town. So if you hear a little bit of twang, a little bit of slang, then just know that's where it's from. So grew up in Houston, came here when I was 8 years old. And I was here with my four siblings. So it was five of us and my mom. And that was it. Grew up in a one-bedroom apartment. It was interesting growing up, you know. And it's amazing, hearing like my name. And I didn't even really embrace and really realize how cool my name was until I got older. Like seriously, because being, you know, back then growing up, being Nigerian wasn't necessarily a cool thing. You know what I mean? Now the vibes is now everybody's into the vibes and Afro beats and the music is live and all that. But man, I nearly had to grow into just really just appreciate not only who I am, but my culture as well. So growing up was always really interesting. But I am the first in my family to even go to college. And I ended up putting myself to school and went to University of Houston, go Cougs. I wanted to stay close to home because my mom I just wanted to be as close to my mom as possible. But we are really, really close. And I tell people my mom is like probably the best human being on the planet that I know. Just because of her sacrifice, right? Watching her grow up. So a lot of who I am literally was what she instilled in me. And so I ended up going to college. It took me 6 years to graduate with my engineering degree, put myself through school, worked two full-time jobs and a full-time student loan. And because at the time I wasn't a privy, even though I qualified for the maximum financial aid and I couldn't even get a loan. I couldn't get financial aid because I wasn't a citizen at the time. Mm. So the only way I was able to go make it through school was to put myself through college. And so they wanted me to pay out-of-state tuition, but I was able to get in-state tuition because I went to a Texas high school. And so now that was half the battle, but then I still had to figure out how I was going to pay for it. So I got a job. And she was at Foot Action, and the manager was so cool. He was like, man, I'll pay you under the table. Don't worry, I'll pay you under the table. I was like, man, thank you. So I hustled, like I grinded. I was his best worker. I was the biggest hustler. So I did that. And then I was really, really good at math. And so just one person to end up mentoring me in college saw how good I was at math, got me a job teaching mathematics at school. And that was where the birth of when me realizing I love to educate kind of came from. So then ended up graduating from engineering school, worked in oil and gas because, you know, Houston's oil and gas capital. A lot of folks, graduate with engineering in Houston, you're likely going to be in oil and gas. But the thing is, a lot of markets don't really understand this, but oil and gas is quite finicky. It has its ebbs and flows. And when price is over $100 a barrel, everybody's happy. You know what I'm saying? Money is being made, even though gas is a little bit higher, but money is being made, the market's good. But at the time, price dropped to like $42 a barrel. And the day I was laid off, it was about 79 people laid off that day. So June 1st, 2017, I was laid off. But before that, I was already investing in real estate. One of my good friends and my frat brothers came a year after, no, it wasn't even a year, maybe 3 months after I graduated college. He handed me a book and he said, TJ, I watched you hustle your way through college, bro. You need to read this book. I just read it. It blew my mind. I was like, man, what is this? Of course, you can probably guess what that book is. It's Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, I got a chance to hang out with Robert Kiyosaki in Vegas.
But
you can check out my
Just throw that in there. It's no big deal.
Hanging out with Robbie. Crazy experience. That was crazy. So I took this book with me because I was working offshore. That was my job. I was a subsea installations engineer. So all the crude oils and hydrocarbons that is extracted from subsea, my company, we built it, we fabricated it, we took it offshore, and we installed it subsea. And so that was my job. And I was good at it. I got promoted to a lead within like a year and a half. And I was working on this rig and I took that book with me offshore and I read it. And then I read it again. I read it twice in that 3 week hit. And I said, get me off this boat right now. I need to go buy some assets ASAP. It was the biggest light bulb. That's how I knew I was going to do real estate for real, for real. And so then I came back, purchased a course, Cody Sperber's course, The Clever Investor. I purchased a course about teaching me how to wholesale. Then I joined a local group. And then I became a big student at YouTube University. I was watching videos, how to use hard money lenders, how to leverage private capital to buy real estate. So I started doing that. And then I pulled the trigger. But it's crazy because the engineering mind in me, I was kind of stuck in analysis paralysis. Like I was always doing so much research, but I was so scared to pull the trigger. But it's crazy how much once I did pull the trigger, that one deal, that first deal taught me more than everything that I had studied up until that point. And so, but it was great. And so then I learned that I can buy assets with my time, not so much my money. If I can buy them distressed and leverage private capital to rehab it and then get out, refinance it, the whole nine. So that's how I started doing. I started building a traditional rental portfolio. Then I was also wholesaling maybe about one or two deals a month. And so that's what I was doing. And offshore, our cell phone service was so limited offshore. It'd be so interesting if they gave us the connection to where they had the signals where we can call from our laptop. Man, I'm happy. We're excited. Other than that, it'll be like a payphone you have to stand in line for to call home. I would stand in line to call sellers so I could put their property on the contract.
Hold on, at the payphone. You get the award of the day, hustler award. Like, I need to go do more work right now. I'm feeling a little, beneath you right now. Of like, I'm sound very lazy. Oh man, okay.
It was crazy. It was so interesting. Then June 1st, 2017 was when everything changed. That was the day that I was laid off. I left home that day, not knowing that was going to be my last day working. You just take this every single day. You kind of take it for granted, right? And so my goal at the time was to have 10 rentals. I wanted 10 single family rental properties. Then I knew I was going to walk away from my engineering job. When I was laid off, I had 5. So it was about halfway there. It wasn't necessarily there, but halfway there. Then I decided, you know what? I'm just going to go all in. I'm going to just all in real estate. So I'm out here. Big entrepreneur, real estate, full-time entrepreneur. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. I knocked my teeth to the ground. My first deal was a flop. I did a flip. That was a flop.
Wait, hold on. I think let's pause right there. What's a flop? Did you lose money? Did you lose time? 100%. Did you lose all the things?
all the things. I lost money and time. I lost money and time. Then I did a second deal. That was a flop as well. Lost money and time on that. And
what did you gain though? You're getting ready to come in with like some serious gains from all these flops.
Oh, absolutely. The gain was insane lessons, right? Insane lessons on exactly what to do. Because at the end of the day, when you fail, you got two options. You can lay underneath them and let the pressure continue to apply, or you can decide to stand on top of them and keep it pushing. Because at the end of the day, I for me, coming from where I'm from, I don't have a choice but to keep it pushing. Like, and that's one thing that one thing why I would not take my journey back for anything, because the amount of character that it built in me, that it instilled in me, coupled with what my mom taught me, it's just like, it's just a bit, that's what allowed me to go as crazy as I'm going now. So the work ethic is there, but the why is there at the same time. So yeah, we're going to stay on top of the failures at the same time. We're going to keep this thing pushing. But when I found short-term rentals, I lost my first one. I was laid off June 1st, 2017. I lost my first short-term rental literally last week of December 2017. And it's been short-term rental focused ever since then.
Why did you get started in the short-term rental? Was it a friend? Was it a podcast? Where'd you get bit by the short-term rental bug?
So I was actually doing market research on how to better market for wholesale deals and deals that I can do creative deals in, pop and flip or whatnot. And I came across a video. And what's interesting is I can't even remember. It was just a video on YouTube. It was almost like a commercial about how you can earn more money on Airbnb than traditional rooms. And I had never even stayed in an Airbnb at the time. And I was like, man, I mean, I know about it, but I never stayed there. So at the time, I was remodeling a single family house that I was going to add to my traditional rental portfolio, just like I was already doing. Then I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and furnish this thing. I spent $14,000 furnish this 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. And I remember standing in the middle of it one time where, you know, when you furnish it, the craziness, the boxes everywhere, everything's in pieces. And you're standing in the middle of the room. And honestly, I almost broke down. I said, man, I might be in over my head. Like, what the heck am I doing? And it's just me. I'm putting the furniture together. I'm doing all that. And I'm like, what the heck? And so I finished furnishing this thing. I scheduled professional photography, but I took cell phone photos because I was just so ready to get it listed. So I took cell phone photos and then I listed it. And I was so nervous. And I listed it and I put my phone down and I started watching the movie. I started watching Planet of the Apes, the movie. And I put my phone down and you know, the Airbnb noise goes off, boom, phone dings. The level of excitement, I couldn't even explain it to you. I was like, oh, snap. Oh, what's going on? Yes, it's ready. Book it. Yes. Yes, please. It's ready. They were just inquiring. They just wanted, they just had a question. You know, they said, hey, do you have more pictures? Is this? They said, I was like, yes, it's ready. Yes.
Just so, get over here.
I ended up not getting that reservation. Right? Oh. But I woke up the next day with 2 confirmed reservations.
Nice.
And that is what made sure, that was what instilled the short rental game in me. And I said, oh, wow. And I did the math. Then when I ran the numbers and I said, okay, even at this price point, because I wasn't even at market price. And I said, even if I was 50% occupied this month at this price point, I'm still looking to at minimum 2x what I would with a traditional rental. And so that was just a no-brainer for me. So I said, okay, now I need to run a play on this. This is what we can do. Then I learned that you didn't have to own it. I said, wait a minute. I can rent this and do it? So, okay, what's this arbitrage thing? Okay. And this is 2017, 2018, when short-term rentals was not nowhere as popular as it is now. And so I just started documenting my process and started putting it on Instagram. People were like, yo, TJ, show me, teach me. Then pick your brain, this and that. So I started teaching. Then I said, all right, how about y'all? Everybody just come get the game. I was holding these free classes, just teaching, won't even charging anything. Come to my Airbnbs, check it out, look at it, see it, look at the setup. And I was teaching. And that's how I got into the education space. You know what I'm saying? So it's been a heck of a journey so far. And then, you know, COVID happened and I ended up, that's a whole conversation. We can get into how we pivoted during COVID if y'all want to. But yes, so we were able to even scale our business during COVID, which was interesting. And then I got tapped in with Cody Sperber and he's been amazing. And he put me in touch with a lot of other folks. And I started speaking on a lot of big stages and started educating, started realizing that people were really, really using this information. And it's been a heck of a journey so far. So, yes.
You are an impressive man and you have so much energy and it's refreshing. But I think the most refreshing part, TJ, is I don't even know if you realize this because maybe it's so ingrained in you. I don't know if this is your mother or what it was, but so many people in this space continue to kind of frustrate Annette and myself because they talk about the numbers and the math and that's all well and good. But how the heck did you know that hospitality was a huge part of what you were getting into? How the heck did you know
that, you know, that the $14,000 spent out of the gate, you never, you know,
so many people are like, they,
Facebook
they,
marketplace putting free furniture. That's what's very popular back in the day when you started. You had the like foresight for that.
Yeah. People brag about how little they spent, you know, and it's like, and that, when that, and I loved that, that message that you had and you didn't even highlight it. It was like a, well, yeah.
And understood.
So yeah. Talk to us about that. Like, how did you know that that was a big part of the, you know, that there's
success,
a guest involved and that there was this, yes, you're getting paid for it, but then you have to make good on that, on that overnight stay for those people.
100%. And I think my experience, my prior experience as a traditional long-term investor helped out a lot, because what brought me, when I got into start doing short-term rentals and Airbnb, I realized and I understood quickly that there's a separation between the real estate business itself and then the, what you, the experience you actually provide to the guests and the hospitality portion as well. Because I was like, okay, I got this real estate portion down. And I know that if I just stick with real estate, it, that's not going to cut the cheese on this, on this. And this, if I'm really trying to get this hospitality thing right, so I have to be hospitable. You know, so I wanted a comfortable couch. I wanted, this house had two living rooms. I had two living room spaces, so I had to get two couches. then I was like, okay, so, but I, that was the first thing I was wondering, well, who would want to book here? Like, who would actually stay here? So I was like, okay, well, I'm not far from the medical, or the medical center. So the medical center folks are probably going to stay here. So I need to make sure that I get quality care. Okay, they're probably going to want to use the coffee. My sister's a nurse. She loves coffee. Let me go ahead and make sure the coffee's on point for the nurses. We're probably going to get a lot of them. We're probably going to serve a lot of patients. And these patients, when they're recovering, their mobility is quite limited. You know what? I'm going to put a TV in every single room to make sure that they can still be entertained, even though they're still, while their mobility is limited. And so I didn't get everything right the first time. But then as I was learning, I would look at reviews and then I would like pick things up. Then I saw this person that was that had like a free, some people started putting up information on YouTube. And shout out to my guy, Sean. I got to give Sean Rockage a huge, huge profit because he was one of the first people on YouTube that I saw that was talking anything about short-term rentals. He's actually going to be speaking about event too, by the way. He's a good friend. But yes, and so it, a lot of it was trial and error. A lot of it, and I was hired this cleaner. Oh my gosh, she was horrible. 3 days later, I had to let her go. Like, it was so many things that it would just have to figure out. And it just, it was an interesting time with the short-term rental space. It's crazy starting then and seeing where it is now. It's very, very interesting. But yeah, a lot of it was really, really trial by error. But I understanding that the real estate and hospitality were two totally different things, especially when you own these assets. Yeah, that was something that helped out a lot.
Hey there, fellow hosts. Want to make your short-term rental feel like $1 million without breaking the bank?
You bet. That's where Manoan comes in. They've got deep discounts on over 100 amazing brands. Brands like Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Wayfair, Parachute, and Fellow. Your guests will be swooning over the stylish furnishings and you'll be grinning at the money you saved.
And here's the exciting news. Manoan just leveled up their platform. Now you can easily sort through their brands with improved browsing and filtering capabilities, including host favorites and unique finds. No more endlessly scrolling.
Plus, if you're a design-savvy host juggling multiple properties, Manoan has your back. You can tag quotes and orders by property so you can keep things organized like a pro.
And let's not forget, you can set up multiple properties under your one account. It's a breeze to manage them all in one place. Talk about convenience.
Oh, and customization is key. With Manoan, you can decide who gets email notifications for all of your quotes and order updates. No more inbox overload.
And also, of course, we cannot forget the most exciting thing about all of this. Manoan is 100% free for hosts. Yes, you've heard that right. There are no membership fees, no sneaky costs, just fabulous discounts and a stress-free experience.
So what are you waiting for? Don't waste another second. Go to ManoanExperience.com and sign up today. Your guests will thank you, your wallet will thank you, and we'll thank you for spreading the word.
Thanks for visiting the new Manoan.
We are going to dig into this because you like glazed over it at the short-term rental conference. And Sarah and I are like, we're like, holy smokes, or thought it was so cool because you're talking about operations and the importance of it. And then you told us about your most recent purchase, your most recent rehab, and the importance of trying to put operations under one roof and really maximizing. So can you tell our audience, Sarah and I are so excited. We cannot wait to come stay, but can you tell everyone where you are right now on your journey and this amazing project that you're working on?
Yeah. So, you know, I started my very first short term rental was the one that I owned, right? The one I was talking about, single family house, two living rooms. And so then I started arbitraging. Then I will buy more single family while I'm fixing it up. I will pick up more arbitrage units. And then I would start saying, you know what, I want to do a duplex. And I want to do a triplex and a fourplex. And I was one of the, I started like, when I would get a multifamily, one of the things that I realized, and this is what kind of let the light bulb go. So I said, okay, if I have a duplex, I can rent this unit out. But then I said, what if I just rent out both units to like large groups? And this was back in 2018. And I tried that. And it was one, I was one of the few people doing it in Houston at the time because it was still so new. And so I was able to charge more. Like, for example, if my average is $150 a night for each unit, I would rent both out for like $500 a night. Mm-hmm. And so I would want those listings more those reservations more so. And then I would buy these duplexes, rehab them, make it. Do the same thing, fourplexes, triplexes. I'll pick up more arbitrage units. So then I got up to 32 doors with mostly under ownership. And then with my 60% under ownership and then 40% we went to arbitrage. Now my business model has shifted. We want multiple units in one location. That is what we're targeting right now. And so that's why I started a boutique hotel brand. And so people's interpretation, by the way, of boutique hotel is quite different. I know it's very different from mine. I'm buying apartment complexes. I buy apartments and then I remodel them, make them beautiful, then I run them like a hotel. That's essentially what I started doing. So I started and that was one of the ones that I highlighted at the conference was a 13-unit building that I purchased. We come in porcelain tile. I mean, we're coming in. We're not missing a thing with this building. When I tell you, I'm coming with a hammer with this building. And so we're super, super excited about that one. Then we bought an 8-unit deal. And so essentially we're running in that search. And what's great is that, you know, in this business, what I tell people is that the value is not necessarily in Airbnb or Booking.com or any of these OTAs. It's not really what the value is. The value is in the infrastructure that you build out. The value is in your business, your systems, your business model, your outsourcing, because that's the reason I can take the same amount of time to run and manage 5 beds with the same amount of time it takes me to run and manage 55 plus beds because of the infrastructure. So I'm massive, massive, massive on systems and automation. And so it's the same team, the same infrastructure I'm going to use to just run these buildings. As we need to scale up and add more team members, then we do that. And so that's where we're at right now in our business. It's amazing. And I think when you have multiple units in one location, it affords you to do a lot of cool things. Now you can provide a much dope experience can provide additional amenities. Like, you know, you could, there's your inventory management's easier, your turnover management's easier. So we're going to be able to offer different packs, you know, 2 packs, 4 packs, 6 packs, depending on their size. We already have a reservation confirmed for November for a wedding party of 25. They want the entire complex. They want all 13 doors. It's 25 people. I'm charging $13,000 for 2 days. I'm 3 days, 3 days, $13,000 for 3 days.
That probably doesn't cover any of your expenses, does it?
That literally covers probably 80%, maybe 90% of our expenses for the month.
One reservation.
One reservation is kind of crazy. So the opportunities when you are able to have multiple units in one location, that's why our focus is now these larger deals to where we are curating these dope experiences. And we're able to offer more things. Imagine now you can even have stores in your units. You can have, you can offer so many additional products right there in your units. And it could be systematized a lot easier because they're all in one location. So that's definitely the direction we're headed.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of interesting, like looking at it, it's like, well, you know, the multifamily, because that's, I love that more too, because it's like you can diversify your building a lot more. You can do more with it. You can also do some stuff like, you know, more of like a hostel model with the larger single family homes. But it's funny, TJ and Annette, because I mean, so then it's like hotels are like, yeah, it's easier. That's why we got hotels, you guys. That is why we have like, you know what I mean? Like one engineering room and one housekeeping room. And like, they're like, right. Yeah. But you know, we're taking these buildings and we're getting creative with them. So my next question for you, TJ, is you are a busy guy. You're on stages. You're like running deals. You're
on podcasts.
You're on podcasts. Where do you get your inspiration from for all your properties? Are individually branding them, or like, how do you make them stand out? I mean, your market, I'm sure, is very popular. So how are you attracting guests and really optimizing who you are as a human and how you put yourselves into your properties? Like, where are you getting the inspiration from?
Man, you know, that's such a good question. And the thing is that I think that my time in this business has allowed me to understand that, you know, Airbnb has been around for a long time, over 10 plus years now. But understand that times have changed now. And with time changes, meaning expectations have also changed over time. And, you know, back then in the infancy of Airbnb, you could have just got a couch off anywhere, off of the street and put it in your property, any bed, any mattress, and you would have been making money on a plane because it was still so new. But now the expectations have changed so much because of how much more market penetration this industry has had, which is a good thing. So now we are in a place to where it's imperative to, I tell my students, your goal should be to be in the top 10% of the listings in your marketplace. You want to be in the top 10% of your listings. And at first it was funny. I was talking to one of my friends, John Bianchi. He's one of the super geeky with the Airbnb analysis. So we were talking yesterday and I said, man, I remember when I was telling people and I would say, man, I love AirDNA's numbers. Like, look at AirDNA's numbers because we tend to outperform it by at least 2x. So it's a very conservative number. You'll find it conservative as well. And he was like, TJ, I don't know if you should tell people that. Because you got to understand, these are real numbers, bro. If you're outperforming it, your listings are outperforming. That don't mean their listings are outperforming. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I was like, oh, snap. So that's kind of what. So we understanding now, what we do is we try to find ways to stand out. And I kind of had to get it out of my own way at this. I was talking to one of my good friends, Zoe. He has some pretty unique listings out of Atlanta. And he did a Barbie-themed unit in Atlanta. And I mean pink out the entire place. I couldn't even believe it. The walls, the couch was pink. The walls was pink. Everything, Barbie thing. He had a Barbie mannequin in there. It was crazy. They took pictures with. And I was like, man, imagine how many people he is like alienating from this listing. I said, oh, this might be a little too niche. I don't know. Might be one of the dumbest things I thought about. Because imagine how many people he's really attracted to, the people that are really want it. And guess what? It's a one bedroom unit. He's charging like $300 a night for it.
Nice. It's so free. Well
the
done.
The riches it's are so in the niches, popular. Everybody. And it's like,
there's
you hear that.
And what?
You hear that, but it's like you get scared because you're like, if I go all in on this, on these pink couches, I can't return a pink couch. You know what I mean? Like, who's going to buy? This better work, you know? And so I get why you got nervous or why you might. So how are you using that now? The niche thing.
So when I that was what kind of unlocked it for me. I said, man, if I'm a niche, if we're gonna get themed, if we're gonna be unique, let's go all in. So I said, okay, we're gonna start thinking. I grew up in the Marvel and DC era. I'm a huge Marvel and DC fan. Okay, so one of my duplexes, I decked out the whole room Marvel themed, the other one DC themed. Right. And then I ran them out together and kind of pin them against each other. The Marvel theme one gets the Disney Plus with all the Marvel movies and all that. The DC one gets HBO, which gets all the DC movies and
that's
all that.
That's amazing. Then,
you know, we got arcades in there. We got it a whole wall. It's a whole wall wallpaper. It's super, super dope. DC graphic and Marvel graphic. It's like,
what are some of the reviews you get? Like, are the reviews like fun for you to read on those properties?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They love it. It's like when people look at the pictures, even if they just have a kid or even the adult.
Adult. My husband would love that.
So they'll look at that wallpaper. They'll look at the arcade. They'll be like, oh, snap, it's a whole theme. We got the track lighting. We got one of the rooms is a Black Panther room. So we got the whole purple thing going with the, oh, man, it's, yeah, we went all the way. So when you understand, don't be scared to go in. There's a reason why brain surgeons make more than general surgeons, because they're niched down. They're niched down, you know what I mean? So, understand, you know, when if I go to an Indian restaurant, I expect Indian food. Like, if I get anything other than Indian food, like, I'm telling you, like, it's going to be weird. It's going to be a weird day. So people know what they want at the same time. So when they see that listing, they say, man, and then you make it family friendly. And put a pack and play in there. Put a high chair in there. Make sure you set it up and photograph it as part, make it part of your photo reel so people can see that, oh, snap, we don't have to travel with that. And they got arcades. It's super family friendly. So these things like that, thinking thinking ahead, thinking, putting yourself in the shoes of the guest, understanding the times that we're in, figuring out ways to stand out. You don't have to be so crazy with the theme. You can just think something, it could be something simple, and you could theme that out and just go crazy with that theme. So I think theming out your units is 100% worth it. Or is every single one of my units themed? No, because there's still some units that I was setting up way before I started theming. But are they still very profitable? Yes, they're still profitable. You know what I mean? But understand, you want to be, try to be unique. You want to definitely try to stand out and add as many amenities as possible. Like as many amenities you can put on your listing. Add as many amenities as possible. One of the hotels we're building, I'm telling my business partner, I said, we're putting a pool here. We're installing a pool. We have to put a pool here because it will, now we're going to be on like any building in the city once we do that. So, so 100%.
You kind of alluded to it, TJ. So you're at the beginning, you were first and foremost a real estate guy, right? That's how you got started. Long-term rentals. We are moving into maybe some uncertain times. It's definitely, rocking the boat for a lot of short-term vacation rental owners because 2021 was good, you know? And so now we're like, things feel different. Things feel weird. Everyone's kind of like, what's happening? So being a numbers guy, being a math guy, being a real estate guy, but also being a short-term rental guy, what is your forecast? What are you feeling? Are you feeling confident? Are you still buying? Or like, where are you looking at for the next, 6 to 8 months, a year?
Listen, I recommend everybody to get as cash heavy as possible to start getting the opportunities because these opportunities are coming. And I think this is a great time for people to start investing. Understand, well, this is why I love real estate and why it's still one of the best hedges. If you're so worried about inflation, understand what else gets inflated. Rental rates get inflated. Okay. So if you're owning and you're paying 6% in interest, but rental rates have increased 20%, listen, just buy. Get into the game. That's my recommendation. And I would, one of the things that we were literally looking at this yesterday, I'd recommend everybody to look at the May stat. They just released it on AirDNA. So like the May numbers for your particular marketplace or any marketplace that you're interested in looking at right now, look at the main numbers of what that market did in revenue and then look at what it did last year in May. But also cross-reference that with the amount of listing increase, right? The amount of percentage of listing increase, but also cross-reference that with the amount of increased revenue. So what you find is some markets are thriving, right, to where the number of increased listing in respect to the amount of revenue generated increase is a great spread. So some markets are thriving. Some markets are kind of stagnant to where it's a decent market, but those numbers are on par. Then you'll find that some markets are more depreciated. They're like they're declining. We're saying they're declining markets to where the revenue increase, maybe there was a $200,000 difference in revenue, but there was a 50% more increase of listings that came up in that market. So that is a declining market. I'd advise everybody to look at that, right? But now understand, that's just numbers that we can start understanding to give us an idea of what's happening in a marketplace, but it's still not enough data, right? We're still kind of entering this stage. We're still kind of beginning of what's happening, but that's something that you want to look at as we kind of go on. And I think the next quarter numbers are about to come out here in a second. We're going to make sure we're running some analysis with that as well. So it's a lot of things happening that's still kind of unknown in the marketplace, especially for short-term rentals. It hasn't lived through anything like this kind of in a way. But, the closest thing we can kind of compare it to is COVID. But, of course, these circumstances are so vastly different. So I would say that I would look at the marketplace because certain markets, their numbers are up. Like, that means that not only is the market more profitable, but the prices, like the ranges have gone up. The price for these listings have gone up. And some markets are thriving, some are stagnant, and some are depreciating. And that's definitely numbers you definitely want to make sure that you look at. These are the things to look out for right now. So it's kind of hard to speculate as to what's to come. There was something else I want to mention. It was interesting because I was looking at all this data yesterday. And I said, some of these markets that having this increase in prices, is it due to inflation? But if it's due to inflation, then we'll see that across the board, right? So, we're trying to figure out. So there's still so many unknowns, I'm pretty much trying to say. So less, you know, we're still trying to see what the market's going to bear for short-term rentals, especially with the way things are going right now. But that's something, those are metrics that I will start tracking if you're definitely listening to me right now.
When you're underwriting your deals, TJ, are you using long-term numbers? Are you using what you know with your short-term? And if you're buying multifamily, you know, are you, is it like hotel or bust or boutique hotel or bust? Or would you be willing to pivot if it became necessary?
You know, I think this is such an important question because people need to understand that in real estate, it doesn't necessarily matter how you exit, because you're making money the way you buy it, right? So one of the things that I tell people all the time is that in this game, I buy my short-term rentals and we exit with a strategy of short-term rentals, but we buy them as if they're traditional rentals. We buy them with traditional rental numbers. Mm. We make sure that they cash flow with a long-term traditional tenant. Hence also why I haven't yet just purchased an old hotel. Right, because that's going to be a totally different underwriting process, which we're going to do. We're totally going to do that. That's coming. That's on the way. But when I buy the real estate I know now, right, when I buy these apartments that I can turn to a hotel, I buy them with traditional rental numbers, right? These property has to cash flow with a traditional rental. And so we're still satisfying the lender's DSCR requirements, right? We're still making sure that, matter of fact, when I put a property on a contract, we're not even considering short-term rental number. We're not even, that's to us, we just look at it as icing on a cake. That's a massive icing on the cake, mind you. But and from the acquisitions process, that's not even a factor right now. We're just looking at long-term rental numbers.
Love that.
So, and so that way, that's why the properties I own, my yields are so much better. The ones I own, literally, I can be booked 40% of the month and still be very profitable because of the spread. Right? Because we buy in with traditional rental numbers, but they do so much well. So at least 3x at minimum. That's like very conservative. At 3x is like super, super minimum conservative at minimum of what they would with a short-term rental. So that's how we purchase them. And understand, when you own these assets, own them in a different. I'm gonna say this. I'm not an attorney, so consult your attorney. But I'll tell you, your asset that's owned, your entity that owns that asset should be different from your short-term rental entity that's managing your short-term rental business, from your short-term rental company. Very different. Understand, there should be a separation of church and state there. You know what I'm saying? Your asset, your entity that owns the asset is totally different from the entity that, and guess what? There's a lease agreement. My entity, my short-term rental company, rents my units from my entity that owns the real estate. We do this for multiple reasons, but, you know, so understand there's a separation there, and I'd recommend, highly recommend doing it there. Sure.
Before we wrap up, TJ, what is your like number one tech tool? Like what's the app? What's the tech? Like what does TJ Tadani use every day? That's like backbone of your business.
Sure. I mean, you know, so I can't, it's hard to, for me to.
Okay, we'll give you a few if you need it.
I'll say this. Okay. He probably won't mind this. So there's a new there's a company called Zoodle. Okay. There's a company called Zoodle. They heavily only usually work in the hotel space. Right? The hotel space. Now this is a company that what they do is they work on, they're very similar to StayFi, to where they provide the routers to capture the guest information.
Okay.
Now, that you're allowed, they put the technology there to where you can upcharge for the faster Wi-Fi, of course. And, you know, what's dope is that as soon as the guest signs in, the next screen that populates could be any like link, could be advertising, it could be an upsell, it could be whatever it is. And so that's there as well. They also have like this dope review system to where the day before the guest checks out, they'll send them just a survey. Right, I'll send them a survey. Say, hey, from 1 to 10, how good was your stay? And if they put anything less than a 9, they'll let you know, like, hey, you might want to check on a guest before they check out, because they're not going to leave you a 5-star. It's because if you list anything less than a 9, it's likely they won't leave you a 5-star.
Right.
And a 10, then all right, cool. Then, you know, matter of fact, when they put a 9 and a 10, you can actually route them to another site, a website, your Facebook page that you want them to leave a review at. You can route them there directly because if they book their Airbnb, they're already going to leave a review for Airbnb. Mm-hmm. So you know, but if it's an 8, they'll let you know, like, hey, this guest just left you a 6 or a 7. You might want to reach out to them and make it right. You know what I'm saying?
Make it right. No, I like
make
that.
Make it right. So, you know, and there's some other pretty dope features. And I told him, I said, hey, look, man, I know you guys only work with hotels, but there's an entire short-term rental industry that will love to get tapped in with you guys' technology. So I've been kind of testing.
Evangelizing so people can
keep working on that, TJ. Let us know if you need our
listeners,
help.
Listeners, reach out.
So I 100% will let, trust me, I will let y'all know once we run a play on that for sure.
That's super awesome.
We'll
exciting.
Make sure to link to everything in the show notes too.
Yes. TJ, thank you so much for your time, your inspiration, your energy, your wisdom. Our listeners, I know, are going to be reaching out to you and chatting with you. So thank you so much. Listeners, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.